Morning, everyone. Good morning on the Money Matters Morning Edition. It is 8 o'clock this morning, and I'm delighted. I've got a great guest that have joined me this morning, and we're going to have a great little conversation because we have some issues that we need to chat about and talk about, and we went right to the right person. So with me this morning is Cheryl Blanchetto, and she is with the Second Chance Animal Shelter. And she has joined us this morning, and we're going to be chatting about some issues that are very, very important and that we need to take a look at. Cheryl, tell us, first of all, where is the Second Chance Animal Shelter actually located?
The Adoption Center is in East Brookfield, and we have a Wellness and Education Center in North Brookfield.
Now, what's the difference between an Adoption Center and a Wellness and Education Center?
The Adoption Center takes care of all of the animals that come into our shelter that need homes. And that's where you would go to adopt an animal. The Wellness and Education Center is where we provide over 5,000 spay-neuter surgeries a year. We also have weekly vaccine clinics on Wednesdays from 9 to 11, as well as other programs. And we also have an educational outreach program, which goes into the schools, and it's based out of there. So that's what the difference is between the two of them.
Oh, great. So you provide a lot of services then.
We do. We also have a pet food pantry that we operate, and we service 9 of the local food pantries, providing them with pet food. That ensures that people who can't afford food are not giving the food that they're getting from the pet food pantry to their pets. Instead,
right.
We're giving them the food for their pets.
Right. The interesting thing is we have a big day here. In fact, that's coming up. On Holy Thursday, it's early this year. It's in March this year, and we do a big drive every year for the food share here. And last year, we were fortunate enough to raise over $31,000 in one day. And Russ Dowd and all the time, the old announcers come back for the day, and Ray Fournier, and we all have a lot of fun. We start at 6 in the morning, and we do that. So you even provide, food for the animals too.
Yes, we do. We started it a few years back because one of the volunteers that we have also volunteers at a food pantry and got in conversations with some of the elderly that were coming in, and one of the women said that she cuts her medicine in half so that she only has to buy it half as often so she can buy food for her pet. And
wow.
We were also finding out that they were taking food from the food pantry and sharing it with their pets, and we figured we need to do something about that.
Yeah.
So that's how
it's
started.
When we talk animals and pets, what specific are we talking about? What kind of animals?
Dogs and cats, basically.
Dogs and cats. One of the things that we see maybe all too often and of course, with the plethora of television networks all doing anything they can to find a story, having said that, it is amazing in the course of a given week how many of these – I guess my word would be a horror story, but that may not be, that may be strong. These horror stories that we see where people have, 50 cats or 30 dogs and they can't take care of them and the house is a mess and some neighbor calls the police and they can't even go in the house. You know, they have to wear masks and everything else. And we hear about these things. And the tragedy of that is that's just abusing the animals.
Yeah, and what people don't realize in this area, that it's happening in this area. We just finished a case of 81 cats in one house helping an animal control officer. And, it was a well-meaning person who took in a couple of strays. They were not spayed or neutered. And, within a year and a half, 2 years, she had 81 cats. What people don't realize is that an unspayed female can have about 3 litters a year with an average of 4 kittens per litter. And they can get pregnant at 5 months, so it's very easy to do the math and see how quickly that can get out of control.
Well, there's a good example. If the female had 4 kittens and there were 2 girls, and that was in January, let's see, February, March, April, May, June, on or about July, the little girls can get pregnant.
Yep.
And there's always a gentleman walking around that will provide that service for them.
Yep.
Suddenly, like you said, all of a sudden, bingo, you got 81 cats.
Yep. And people don't realize they need to do the males, too. I mean, the males are half the problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so the tragedy is that the poor animals are the ones that take the beating.
Absolutely. And we've got some special programs to help with spay-neuter. We have a Target grant that we got from PetSmart Charities, and Southbridge is in that grant. And we are providing for anyone that's on any kind of assistance, whether it's Social Security, transitional assistance, anything, we are providing for their cats $10 to get them spayed or neutered. If they have outside feral cats, which are cats that are technically not owned by anybody, but they might be feeding them. They're not cats you could bring.
They're like stray cats, you'd call them.
Yeah, they're cats that can't be picked up, handled, you know, be an
inside
cat.
They won't let you do it?
Right. Those are what we call feral cats, and those we're doing for free. And we're providing transportation as well, so those people who do not have transportation to get to our wellness center, we're able to provide that as well. And all they need to do is call our wellness center and get that set up.
Wow. It's really providing protection not only for the animals, but it's taken a burden off people who without maybe even realizing it, you know, made what they thought was a, you know, what do they call them, an act of kindness, you know, that now by bringing in two strays, and if, you know, if they're a boy and a girl, bingo, you're in for some trouble. And so maybe doing, you know, a gentle act of kindness is now, you know, gonna really, you know, explode on you.
Yeah, they're well-meaning. You know, they want to help out the cats, and you know, that's great. But they've got to think about getting them spayed and neutered. Even people, I hear people say to me, "Well, my cat's an indoor cat." Well, that may be true. But if when the cat goes into heat, that male cat will do anything to get at her, and that includes ripping through a screen. I've seen it.
Oh yeah.
And plus, I don't understand why if you have an inside cat, especially a male, which has a strong urine odor, if they're not neutered, just get them done, and that way you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, you know, but is that the biggest thing for them is to really have the cats spayed and neutered.
That and make sure they're up to date on their vaccines, because that's the other issue. I mean, rabies is, you don't hear a lot about it, but it's still out there. And if your cat is outside, all it takes is for them to get in contact with a rabid animal, could be a raccoon, skunk, whatever, and they can bring that disease into the house. And that disease is 100% fatal.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like, well, if I get rabies, I'll just get the vaccines. No. You get rabies from your animal.
Well, we had that big story, was it about a month ago, that up in your area,
yes.
where there was a wildcat, went in the garage and he got attacked?
Yes, the bobcat.
Bobcat, yeah. And they found out that the cat, in fact, was rabied, you know, had rabies, and the first thing they did was give him his shots.
Yep.
But again, I mean, those things are dangerous.
Rabies is out there. I mean, it's always going to be out there. I mean, it's very hard to eradicate that disease in the wildlife population. But you can do something about your domestic animals by simply getting them a vaccine.
Yeah. And so these are things that you provide.
We do provide that. Every Wednesday we have an open clinic from 9 to 11. We do rabies vaccines. They're only $12, and it's very easy. Just come in, get it done, and then you don't have to worry about it. Plus, it's required by law. So, you know, you don't want to get caught in a situation where your animal bites somebody or comes in with a wound or whatever, and you're facing a quarantine issue and a possible fine for not having the animal vaccinated.
Right. Well, not only that, but dogs have to be licensed in Massachusetts, don't they?
That's correct.
And that's the other big issue is if you've got a dog, you better make sure he's licensed.
Yes. And licensing, not just about the law standards, but it's the best way to ensure getting your pet back, and microchipping, which is another thing we also offer. We've had several animals in the last couple of years that have been reunited with their owners months after disappearing because they had a microchip. So that's another way to do it.
You mentioned that, every once in a while, you know, we talk about the TV. Every once in a while, there's these stories where they were on vacation and the dog ran away, or the dog left, they couldn't find him, they had to leave, and you know, 9 months later, the dog comes home.
Yep.
You know, it's almost hard to almost even comprehend that, you know, the dog came, you know, six states and found his way back home. I mean, imagine, if it's been, you know, like 3 or 4 months, imagine the journey that poor guy took.
Oh, it's amazing. One of the stories we had this year was the dog had been missing for 4 months and had journeyed into another town, got out of a fenced-in yard. And thankfully, the people who had found the dog a couple months later brought it into our shelter because they couldn't keep it. We scanned the dog. It had a chip. The owner was ecstatic to get his dog back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, so now what do? They actually put a chip in them?
Yeah, it's about the size of a grain of rice, and it gets put underneath the skin, and it has a little code on it. So when you scan it with the scanner, the code comes up, and then we call the company with the code number, and they tell will be able to tell us who owns it.
So they had the dog or the animal was registered.
Yes.
Oh wow, that's I mean incredible. So some of the other things that you offer now, you said you come into Southbridge a lot.
We come in the Southbridge every week, sometimes multiple times in the week, because we're helping by picking up the animals for people, at certain places in town, so that people who don't have the transportation can get to our facility and get the care that it needs to get.
Is Southbridge a unique situation? Is there, for instance, more of a stringent population in Southbridge than other communities?
Southbridge has a huge feral cat issue. Huge. I mean, estimates of anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 feral cats in the community.
Wow.
That's a lot of cats. And unfortunately, a lot of them, people are not calling us to tell us to help out to get them fixed. It's a simple process. Like I said, it's free for feral cats. You know, get them done and stop the cycle.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the
places... Well, that's because if you've got between 1,000 and 1,500, and let's just make a simple math assumption that it's 750 each, guess what you're looking at within a year?
Absolutely. And like I said, this grant is only good for a certain amount of time. Once the money's gone, then the prices go back to our regular prices, which is $65 for a female and $50 for a male. So we want to see people take advantage of this grant while we have it. One of the places that we were trapping at, we kept trapping skunks as well. So we know that these cats are intermingling with the wildlife. So getting them in to get spayed and neutered also means they're getting a rabies vaccine.
So that you can go out and get these cats, even if people, because nobody claims them, they don't belong to anybody. So you go out and try to get them as many as you can. And then what do you take them back and go to work on them? And then what do you do with them? Do you release them or do you adopt them? What do you do?
Well, what we do with a feral cat, because they're not a cat that's adoptable, when people call us, we provide them with the traps. Very simple. You put them out, catch the cat. We come in, we take the trap, we bring it to our wellness center. The veterinarians will do the spay or neuter. And then we bring the animal back to wherever it was trapped and release it. It's called TNR, which is trap, neuter, release. And we release them back. The thing is, once they've been outside this long and they're not adoptable.
They're not going to be domesticated.
They're not going to be domesticated. But what we explain to people is, you know, because sometimes people call us and say, well, I just want you to take them and euthanize them. We don't do that. We're a no-kill facility. And what we explain to them is they're already out there. Life expectancy of an average feral cat is about 2 years. So once they're spayed and neutered, the population is going to go down. But in the meantime, they do provide rodent control.
Yep.
You know, which is something that a lot of places, especially when you have multifamily homes and a lot of trash, things like that. Rodent control is
very important. Yeah.
So they
like mice.
Purpose. They like mice.
Yeah, they like mice. Yeah, my son lives in Framingham. And he's got this beautiful house and big yard, and he has three of his own cats now, and one is, I don't know, 11 or 12 years old, Coco, and Coco brings home a prize usually once every day. You know, she goes out in the yard, and you know, and she's a great hunter, you know, and boom, you know, and sometimes she tries to catch birds, you know, but mostly brings home a little prize, and you know, is smart enough now, been trained enough to leave it outside. You know, we don't bring those in anymore. But the point is that it's an interesting point that they are, you know, and once you get them, if you take them and you neuter them and you bring them back and put them back in the population, you know, if they've got a short, why is their life expectancy so short?
Because of all the dangers out there, they're very likely to get hit by a car. They don't get regular care, so
and they got the weather issues.
They have the weather issues, which they're usually pretty hardy. But you know, you got to remember they also everything out there that they could succumb to. I mean, basically most of it is being hit by a car or there's a high mortality rate in the kittens because you're having kittens born in January.
Yeah.
Sometimes the weather turns really bad and the cats die. So that happens. So there is a high mortality rate there.
Is there, you know, we talk about Southbridge specific, and we run between 1,000 and 1,500. Sort of projecting out, with control, can you bring that population down?
Oh, absolutely. If we were to get every single of the 1,500 cats done, probably next year you'd be down to 1,200. I mean, it goes down very, very quickly. I've done colonies of 40, 50 cats, and 2 years later they're down to 6 to 10. I mean, it's sad that that happens, unfortunately. But like I said, there's a lot of dangers out there for them. But it does solve the problem in a humane manner by spaying and neutering. You're not dealing with all these poor kittens being born outside and continuing the issue.
Yeah, and it's a struggle. And so it's really something. Now, how many people work with you?
We have 11 employees. Four of them are veterinarians. We also have 325 volunteers.
So it's a big organization.
It is a big organization now. It takes a lot of work. We adopt out over 800 animals a year from our adoption center, plus doing over 5,000 surgeries, not to mention all the other. We help nearly 10,000 animals a year now.
Wow. So that's really, this is really something, you know, this is awesome, as a matter of fact. I mean, it's kind of big.
It's been growing by leaps and bounds. I mean, we have grown significantly. I founded the shelter in 1999, so we're a fairly young organization, but we have just really grown. And our goal and our difference between a lot of us and a lot of other shelters is that our goal is to keep animals out of shelters, not to try and get more animals in. So our focus is on all of these programs to keep the animals out of the shelters safe, healthy, and cared for.
Wow. And so now, but, you know, you must have be able to give people advice and classes, too. So if people have animals, you know, there's ways they want to take care of them, and they need to know that.
Yes, we offer a lot of assistance. We are in the middle of a renovation at our wellness center. We're already expanding. One of the things in there is a nice new training center there where we are having local trainers come in and provide assistance to dogs, owners, to get their animals so that they can work issues out with them. And also we're going to be providing seminars to everybody, besides just the general public, but the animal welfare people, anybody that works in the animal welfare field, animal control, veterinarians, and things like that, to help bring everybody together under one roof and really help the community.
Well, you know, because when I was a kid, I grew up in the Boston area in Malden, and you know they had the SPCA, and because everybody knew them, and they were the creme de la creme. So you're sort of like them.
We are sort of like them. We do not have a law enforcement part of our shelter. That's a whole other thing. So we don't have that. Actually, the only ones that really have a strong law enforcement are the Animal Rescue League in Boston and the MSPCA.
Yeah.
But we do provide all the other things. Our buildings are not huge, but our programs are.
Well, but the other thing, as you mentioned earlier, you also work with the animal control offices in the communities, you know, which in reality, they do have powers.
Yes, yes. In fact, I'm an animal control officer myself for 18 years, and they're the boots on the ground. They're the ones that are going in and seeing the issues, so we love working with them. We work with over 35 of them in the community now.
I was going to ask you, how many communities do you really work with in the area?
We help anybody that calls. You know, we help all over Massachusetts. We've even started to go into northern Connecticut now and assist. But besides animal control, we also work with other shelters and rescue groups. A lot of them come in to get their animals spayed and neutered through us, which, you know, we're here to help everybody. We're not trying to be an island by ourselves.
No.
And
it's a great reach out. I mean, just talking to you, the things that you do, I mean, sending trucks down or vans down to Southbridge for specific and other communities, I'm sure, to pick up, you know, and work with folks who end up with a problem on their hands.
Yeah, we're also going into other shelters that are overwhelmed and taking animals out of there to help prevent euthanasia at those facilities, and we bring them to our adoption center for adoption as well. So we're really trying to help out everybody.
Do you have a lot? Speaking of that, do you have a lot of people looking to adopt animals?
We do. Our adoption fees are very low, and we try to keep them that way so that it's an affordable option for someone who is looking for a new pet. And we do.
Do you get requests? like, I want a St. Bernard, or I want a black lab.
Well, what we tell people with that is, you know, we're not a Walmart. We don't, yeah. you know, we don't yeah, stock no. the shelves.
No, no.
It's whatever comes yeah. in. Sometimes, you know, if they're looking for something in particular, we tell them to fill out, we have an application process, yeah. fill it out, tell us what you're looking for, because chances are pretty good that that particular is going to
yeah.
come in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we do tell them that, but, you know, most of the time people say, I want a specific thing. I absolutely want a yeah. black lab. And yeah. then they come in, they see what's there.
They see something. Yeah,
they end up adopting yeah. a yellow little shepherd mix or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, whatever. And no, I know that there's no question that especially, I think, dogs, especially smaller ones, can be infectious. You know, you walk in and you say, we don't need a dog, and then you see one.
Yes, absolutely. You know, absolutely. And one of the things we try to focus on in the community, too, is actually our pit bull. We have a special program for them, $50 to get them fixed.
Yeah.
You know, because that is the number one breed that's in shelters across the country, and we want to help them because they're a great breed. They've been often, you know, you talk about TV things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a pit bull bites somebody, it makes the 5 o'clock news. If a golden retriever bites, you never hear.
Nope.
You know, and so we're really trying to promote helping out in the community,
yeah.
and the best way for us to do that is through the spay-neuter program.
Well, let's take a minute, because before we wrap up, I want to just take a minute. Why don't you tell folks how they can get a hold of you and different ways they can reach out to you if they need to talk to you?
If they want to get a hold of our adoption center, the number is 508-867-5525. And our wellness center, which provides the spay-neuter, is 508-637-1333. Or they can go on our website, which is secondchanceanimals.org.
SecondChanceAnimals.org. That's a good place to start, though.
That's
really
a great place to start. Yeah. All of the information is on our website.
SecondChanceAnimals.org. Yeah. So there's a good spot for you there.
Yeah. SecondChanceAnimals. That's with an S at the end. .org.
Right. So. Well, you know, Cheryl, I want to thank you so much for coming down, and we'll have to have you come in again because, you know, I think it's an ongoing problem, and we can't stress enough that there is help there, there are opportunities to. As you indicate, and when you talk about the magnitude of 1,000 to 1,500, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends running around town at night, you know, with nobody watching them, that's scary. I mean, that can be dangerous, you know, if it's not brought under control. And,
absolutely.
Of course, obviously, that's just one of – but that's only one of the things you do. And you certainly offer all kinds of services. And with 5 veterinarians on staff, I'm sure you can help a lot of people who have some issues.
Absolutely.
And then you mentioned the pet food program that you have. Mm-hmm. So you really provide – but, I mean, let me talk to you because you said you started this in 1999.
That's correct.
And at some point when you, you know, sit down at night and relax or, you know, climb into bed and pull up the covers and say, I got to get some sleep, there's got to be a point in time where you say, wow, you know, look at where we've come and, you know – what, 12 years, 13 years, we're looking at 14 years we're looking at. It's got to be something that you look back at and get a great reward out of from where it, I can just imagine what it was like on day one.
Absolutely. You know, I think back of when I started it and all the people that told me that I couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I can't do it.
Okay. You know, I didn't have the money backing to do it. And, you know, I started it with $700 that was donated to me to start the shelter. And now it costs us $2,400 a day to operate the shelter.
Yeah.
So it has grown.
I
don't get a lot of sleep at night because I worry constantly.
Oh, I'm
you
sure,
know, you got to
yeah.
raise the money and there's always animals in need and stuff. But, you know, it's great. We have a lot of backing from the community. We have a great group of volunteers, staff. It's just wonderful.
Well, that's great. I mean, with over 300 volunteers, that's got to be rewarding for you, that you've got folks that have stepped up and are willing to help out and you know and do a job and get it done for you.
We couldn't do it without them, and it's great to see those kids that have grown up volunteering and have gone into the animal welfare field, which is really rewarding for us.
Yeah. Oh, it's got to be something. It's got to be. I mean, in every organization, you know, you mentioned when you first started, I was on the road one time doing seminars, and I did it with my kids. I do it with everybody. I'm in Rotary Club. I'm in different organizations, and I have a simple thing, and I tell people there is no such word as can't.
Mm-hmm.
In my vocabulary, the word can't does not exist. I have no idea what that means. Now listen, there are some things I choose not to do. For instance, I know that if I run out in front of that big truck, I could get hurt.
Yeah.
So there are some things I choose not to do. But Cheryl, don't tell me I can't, because I certainly can do it. I just choose not to. But in reality, one of the things I think sometimes people spend way too much time on is saying you can't do it. Yes, you can. And there's a way, if you make the effort and you're willing to work hard enough, almost nothing's impossible. But I always tell people, there's no such thing as can't. You know, there's I don't wanna, you know.
I tell people that no to me is a challenge.
Yeah.
When you tell me no, it's a challenge.
Yeah. Oh, no, and you're 100% right. And but I certainly want to extend my best wishes and share my joy for you, because it's got to be very rewarding for you, even though you don't sleep at night, you know, yeah. Rewarding for you to see how far you've come and what you've really accomplished.
It's been wonderful, and I love how many lives have been touched, you know, including the volunteers that come in. It's just rewarding all the way around.
Got to get a hold of Anthony Everett now at Chronicle and have him come out.
Yeah, you know, that's the other thing. It's very hard for us to get, you know, a lot of people don't realize that we exist because of where we are. We're not close to TV stations and things like that. So we don't get the media exposure that you would get. Like you talk about, everybody knows about the MSPCA.
Yeah.
Well, they know about it because they're in Boston area.
Well, let me tell you a story before you leave. We work here with Sturbridge Community Television, Bruce Butcher, who is the gentleman who runs that. And we have three or four programs that we do here, like this one, that he comes. In fact, some of his equipment is permanently here. He comes and films, and then they play it back on television. And so what I'm going to do is when I see him, I'm going to mention this, and maybe, you know, I'm not trying to get you to do more work.
Oh, we don't mind.
But maybe if you did like a 15-minute program once a week that they can record. And what they do is every town now has a community access TV station. And they are desperate for programming. They are looking for programming. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line to it, what I'm suggesting is I'll have to give your information to Butch, and you and he can chat and maybe do a program for you if you did it every other week. And then you can and he can make copies of it, and you can distribute it to the different towns, you know, and especially, for instance, in Southbridge, because they have a great community access program here, and they can run that program for you, and it can be, you know, it can really help you with your dilemma on the feral cats that are you know, populating the community.
Yeah, we love getting the information out as any way we can, and we'd be happy to do that.
Good. That's terrific. Once again, tell folks how they can get a hold of you before we leave.
You can go on our website at secondchanceanimals.org, or you can call us at 508-867-5525 for our adoption center, or our wellness center is 508-637-1333.
Terrific. Cheryl, thanks so much. It's been great having you, and we'll do it again.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure.